God's Word. What happened? Why are we here? Because He's written. That's right. If Jesus never rose from the dead, there would be no point to this gathering here this morning or any morning and call ourselves Christian. There just would be no point to it. But there is a point. So we're going to look at First Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to do some readings there. And then we'll jump into the message. As we seek the resurrected Christ. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you have received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Peter and then to the 12, and after that He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, He appeared to me also, as one abnormally born. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, that He raised Christ from the dead. For we have testified about God that He raised Christ from the dead. But He did not raise Him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are also lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn. Christ, the first fruits. Then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come. When he hands over the kingdom of God, the Father Almighty, he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be defeated or to be destroyed is death. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that we can come before you here this morning and give you praise. That we can stand here and say, He is risen, and respond with, He is risen indeed. Lord, that we thank you that you have put your word here, that we can go to it and be encouraged and hear about the witnesses. That it's not just on one person say-so or a rumor. But Lord, it's in the Scriptures. It's in your own word. You spoke it. So it's true. Now, Father, I pray your anointing to be upon me as I preach this Easter morning. Lord, let your glory shine on you. Let your people hear, know you more, and put their faith in you, the risen Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to seek the resurrected Christ. all the last, as we're going through a whole season of Lent, we were doing seek God for the city, and we were seeking these various things. Well, now we are seeking not just the peace of God, not just the righteousness of God, not just the love of God, but we are seeking the resurrected Christ. God come in person to this earth, who's now resurrected. Now, Paul, who's writing this letter that we read today, starts off by giving us a reminder of the gospel. You know, what is the gospel? What's he doing? Well, first he deals with that thing that is of importance, of first importance, primary importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. See, it's through the gospel is that we're saved. That's the good news, people, if we believe on Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. Okay, there is an if. We have to do one thing. That's receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Otherwise, He's done the rest of it. And that's the primary thing. That's it. Do that. Two, He gives us a reminder of the gospel's importance, and then its content. What's in this? What's in this gospel? Well, first, that Jesus died for our sins. Okay? Somebody had to be that sinless sacrifice. Good Friday service. We focused on the Lamb's blood. He went as the sacrifice for us. And He was buried. He's dead. So He's buried. On the third day, He rose again. Now, the significance of that, other than the fact that each one of these items, we're not done with them, is that they're true, but that they were prophesied that this was going to happen. That this is what the Messiah, the Christ, will do. This is it. Messiah is going to, He's going to live, that means He'll die. Look at Isaiah 52 and 53. Go there and read those verses. He was buried. Died 3 days. Now take a piece of meat, a hunk of meat. Put it in something that's about 80, 90 degrees. Because that's about the average temperature in Israel. Go ahead, put it in something that's 80, 90 degrees and let it sit for 3 days. Okay? If it wasn't dead before you put it in there, it is now, right? And you know it's dead. Why? Because it stinks. 3 days. 3 minutes. Hey, I can go 3 minutes being dead. People come back from being dead for 3 minutes all the time. We do it today in the hospitals all the time. We do it emergency, CPR. Boom, 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 boom. Hey, I'm all better now. But you were flatlined, dude. You were dead. Jesus wasn't 3 minutes dead. He was 3 days dead. There's a difference. Dead beyond. You say, well, maybe he was dead, maybe he wasn't. Wasn't even, you know, Princess Bride. Well, he's mostly dead. No. Dead. Then he rose again. That's the gospel. He rose again. See, you got all this other stuff, but if you don't get to the rise again, you're only getting partway there. We don't get it all. You know, it's like competing in a contest and then you don't find out who won. You're like, what was the point? He won. Death didn't win. Jesus did. God did. And therefore, we did. That's why this is called the gospel, the good news. Okay? Then there's verifications of the good news. He just didn't tell us that it's important and tell us what's in the good news, but Paul gave us verifications, okay? He first appeared to Peter, and, you know, he's very misogynistic, you know, Peter always has been, or Paul always was, you know, very much, you know, only we're talking to the guys. Well, the culture was very guy-orientated, so we didn't talk about, you know, Mary and Martha, you know, and the other ladies who went to the tomb and saw Jesus too. Not even taking their witness. We're just talking about the guys here. But we got Peter, then the 12, then more than 500 of the guys. Okay, we're not even talking about the girls. So, trust me, if there were 500 guys, there are a whole bunch of other gals around too. Because, look out here. How many guys we got? Guys, raise your hand. Okay? Put your hands down. Now, girls, put up your hands. Guess what? We got both. They got both too. So there's probably 1,000 or better. And that's just the adults. We're not even counting the kids. Any kids here? Yeah, we got them too. Then what? Well, then to all the apostles. We had the 12. Now we have all the apostles. All the apostles must be a larger group than just the 12. And lastly, Paul. Paul himself, who kind of abnormally born. He's on like on the road, and you know maybe we'll see how they do that on the Bible tonight. Those of us who are watching that miniseries, see how well they do that. But shows up, and Jesus calls to Paul. Now remember, Paul, his job before he became the apostle to the Gentiles, the missionary to the lost world, his job was to find Christians and kill them. Find some way to find a legal way to kill them. Oh, they did that wrong. They did this heresy, so kill them, stone them. That's what he did. But he ran into Jesus. He said, and I met him. And now I'm preaching it. Okay? Changed his life. And it changed all our lives. So we have it. It's verified. Okay, two. If there is no resurrection, that's an important question. You know, Paul's bringing that one up here. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? See, if there is no resurrection, it's preached. Yet, we have that today. We got people walking around saying, yeah, well, you know, it's a good thing. You know, Jesus, you know, he told us a good way to live our life here on this earth. If there's no resurrection, what's the point? I might as well, you know, eat, drink, and be happy, or do whatever. Live for the moment, because I don't know how many moments I've got. But if there is resurrection, oh, game changer. That means this is just the prelude to the entirety of eternity. But how I start means everything. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever been a racer of any kind. Now, I did track and field. Not well. What I did do well, though, fairly well, was swimming. And there is nothing more important than the start. Now, you can overcome a bad start sometimes if it's a long enough race. But when you take off from the blocks in a swimming, if you don't get off when that buzzer goes, you're still standing in the blocks and everybody else in the water swimming, you've lost. If we don't accept Jesus here, this side of his return, this side of the grave, we've lost. if there is resurrection. But if there is no resurrection, you know what? If Christ has not been raised, if Christ hasn't been raised, then there is no resurrection. If Christ has not been raised, then there is no resurrection. And we're just playing. We're wasting our time meeting here. It means that preaching and faith is useless. You know, I've been giving false witness about Jesus. So not all about God, what God has done. So, if I'm saying that God done this and I haven't, you know, well, I'm doubly damned. You know, one, there is no eternity, so I've wasted all my time. And two, whatever damnation or judgment God can somehow impart upon me in this life, I have coming to me for having given false testimony about Him. The parlance of the street, I am in a tough spot. Maybe you can think of a cruder form of saying that, but I'll let you figure that one out. In fact, we're to be pitied. If there is no resurrection, we are to be pitied because we're fools and we are all lost. Totally lost. We don't have a clue what's going on. And eternal salvation, it ain't happening. But. Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection. You see, there is a resurrection. We just had the testimony of all these people who saw Him resurrected. And here's the thing about first fruits. The first fruits come from the very beginning of the harvest. The first fruits, by their very nomenclature, means that there's more fruit. There's later fruit. And Paul said that Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. So Jesus is resurrected first. And then others are raised. Those who are Jesus's. If I have Jesus sealed on me, then I'm His. So I need to be sealed with the Holy Spirit. See, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the same. And when I believe on Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I am sealed with the Holy Spirit. When you believe on Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are sealed. God writes His name on you. It says, owned by God. He is not the whole harvest of the resurrected. He's nothing but the... I hate to say nothing but He is but the first fruit of the resurrection. He's the means by which the resurrection occurs, but He's just the first fruits, the beginning of the harvest. So no harvest to come in yet. See, Christ has indeed been dead. So those who must be raised with Him are those who belong to Him. Now, so Christ has indeed been raised, and then we see that Adam is death, and that Christ is life. See, through Adam, through the one, came death, and through the one comes life. You know, through Adam and death is sin and the law. Through Jesus is life, salvation, mercy, and grace. The one is more powerful than the other. Have you ever made a little dam out of earth and, you know, kind of got a little pond up here and then You just put a little tiny hole in it and then watch it. Can you row it away and the hole gets bigger and bigger and bigger until finally the whole dam's gone? Anybody ever do that, something like that? You know, I used to do that in the streets all the time. You know, you get the water running in the summer, especially in the spring runoffs. You know, you do that. You know. Adam is that first little hole. And it's eaten away the dam. And through him, the flood of death has been released. Now, it doesn't take as much strength or power to cause that first flood, does it? But it causes, you need a much stronger force to stop the flood. Jesus is the rock. Okay? He's the one who overcomes death. He has victory over death, and death is destroyed. Death is destroyed. Death is the last enemy of God to be destroyed. But it's the resurrection that proves its destruction. It's the resurrection that proves to us that death has been destroyed and that flood has been stopped. We still see it trickle around the sides here today. But in that final day, it will be stopped in its entirety. See, the gospel's real. We don't need pity because we have the life everlasting. Okay? Seek the resurrected Christ and you too can have that life everlasting. Don't look for him in the tomb. It's empty. For he is risen, and our Lord lives. Amen? And he's coming back, people. Soon. So receive him as Lord of your life and receive the hope of the indwelling Christ. Don't live without faith. Don't live without hope. But live in the victory of Christ Jesus. Claim him as your Lord and Savior today. And every day. We're going to receive communion now. If you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, now is the time to do so at the communion table. I'll ask elders to come forward.